What's happening, party people? Quick reminder about jointhefoot.com. This is our Patreon community. These are the official Foot Clan members helping power this independent podcast, keeping things running. And what do you get for supporting the show? Well, all kinds of cool perks. We have all these tools on our website that you get access to. The Stream Finder tool is, you cannot state the value of this tool when you're looking for a stream, as they say, the injury podcast that we've been talking about, Foot Clan Game Day Alerts, the Footcast, an extra episode of the Fantasy Footballers every single week, that and so much more. Go check it out, jointhefoot.com.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in. Wednesday, October 14th. The Fantasy Footballers Podcast with another
spectacular
episode. Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
Excited to be with you. We have buy sell today. We're doing something fun on the show. We are going to redo the first round or two, and see what it looks like. We're gonna do a little draft ski on the show today.
It's basically like the top of the draft, rest of season rankings.
Sure.
is essentially what we're gonna have at the end of today's show.
That is accurate, Mr. Moore. How are you doing today?
Doing very well. I'm really looking forward to the draft, if I'm being honest.
And we had football last night, which was TuesdayNightFootball.com. And we saw the surprising practice is overrated. I mean, I know Allen Iverson taught us that a long time ago, but it was evident last night on the field. You don't need to practice. Zoom is the key. You just hop on a Zoom call and then go beat an undefeated Bills team by multiple scores.
You know, watching the game, like, obviously the Titans dominated 42-16, just absolutely trounced the Bills. But it didn't really seem like they dominated the game as far as, like, outplaying. The turnovers were everything for this game. And obviously that is a part of it. I'm not taking anything away from the Titans. But it was like the Bills were able to score on the Titans as easily as the Titans could score on the Bills. They just had some very unfortunate turnovers. A popped up, you know, drop that hit a wide receiver in the hands. It turns into an interception, and then next thing you know, the game just completely gets out of control.
Things seemed a little off offensively with no John Brown, to be honest, and Cole Beasley leaving the field with injury. I didn't feel like Josh Allen could rely on anybody, including Stephon Diggs, in part. He had a couple of drops. Devin Singletary could not get anything going on the ground.
No, he could not.
And the game fell apart. And the Titans are annoying. They're so annoying. If you commit a turnover, they might as well, this should be a video game power up or power down, where you just take 5 minutes off the clock, take 8 minutes off the clock. You just penalize this, the opportunities that the Bills had. You know, we were in a matchup in a dynasty league. Josh Allen goes and throws a dart to Yeldon. By the way, the one thing I was impressed with on the Bills side, their offensive line is incredible. Some of these plays, Josh Allen is standing there Brady-esque.
Yes.
Nobody's around. Nobody can get to him. He's just standing there waiting to throw a dart someplace. Throws the touchdown to T.J. Yeldon. There is 10 minutes on the clock in the fourth quarter. 10 minutes. Three timeouts. All the timeouts for Buffalo. Mike and I are in a duel, and we get to the point where Josh Allen just needs another touchdown drive. Mike sends me a message. Things are going to be a little toy.
Yeah, I was very concerned. With the amount of time left, it was, well, certainly.
Couple drives.
Certainly Josh Allen will throw at least one more touchdown, which would end our matchup.
Never touched the ball again. Never even got to have the suspenseful TuesdayNightFootball.com moment that we were all looking forward to.
Yes.
And I was defeated.
I was looking forward to it. And welcome back to the NFL, A.J. Brown.
Oh, yeah.
9 targets, 7 receptions, 82 yards, and a touchdown on a dime from Ryan Tannehill.
Why don't you bring that tweet up, Mike?
Which Oh, yeah.
I want to highlight those stats because it was mind-blowing. But, Jason, yeah, you were talking.
I was just going to say, Ryan Tannehill's been excellent. He's been excellent since week seven last year when he took over. And what Mike is about to bring up is pretty impressive.
So this was a tweet from NFL on CBS, and they wanted to compare how good Ryan Tannehill has been. So they said, well, let's compare him to the current best quarterback in the NFL. That is Patrick Mahomes. They went Ryan Tannehill, 14 starts with Tennessee. So they went the last 14 games of Patrick Mahomes. Same record, 11-3. Passing yards, a discrepancy of just 70 yards that Tannehill is under Patrick Mahomes. And I got to show more here.
Passer rating.
And then the passer rating is actually slightly higher for Ryan Tannehill. Touchdowns to interception ratio, 31-6 for Ryan Tannehill, 28-6 for Patrick Mahomes. Ryan Tannehill has been unbelievably good for not for fantasy football, for the NFL. It just,
yeah, it's impressive.
I saw this stat, and I'm looking at where I have Chris Herndon in Dynasty, and it's like, oh man, who's next? Who is the next person to escape from Adam Gase? And maybe it's Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
Because he has escaped.
Yeah, we'll be talking about him momentarily. Jonu Smith, 5 for 40 and 2 touchdowns, including one that I did not expect. That last second,
yeah,
we're going to play action pass while we're up a million points. I was shocked.
I loved it.
Yeah, and then Derrick Henry, a couple touchdowns in this one. Still doesn't look like the same rushing system without, you know, Taylor Lewan left the game early.
Right.
And then, obviously, Conklin left. And they don't seem like they can get him ahead of steam as often.
It's not cold enough yet.
Yeah, I was going to say, wait till winter. Winter is coming, as they say.
For Derek Yeti?
Yes.
Okay, let's do some buy-sell, then we'll get into the news.
Buy or Sell, presented by Pristine Auction.
All right, last week we had a battle, and we were all 2 for 3. Mm. Deshaun Watson is a top 8 quarterback. I bought it. You guys both sold it. He ended up as the quarterback 6. He
snuck in.
Kareem Hunt as a top 8 running back. I bought it. You guys both sold it. He ended up at 12. And then Allen Robinson is a top 8 wide receiver. We all sold that, and he ended up as the wide receiver 22. So this week, the week 6 edition of Buy Sell, Jonathan Taylor taking on Cincinnati, and the buy sell line that Brooks has put in here, 100 total yards, which he accomplished in week 2, but the last 3 weeks, just 62, 79, 74 yards. He's getting 15 opportunities. That's the average in those weeks. I'm actually going to sell this. Mm. For whatever reason, Jonathan Taylor has not impressed me. He has not been given enough opportunity to kind of get going, I think, or have an opportunity to impress me. I haven't seen a special thing on the ground, so I'm going to sell it, and I'm disappointed in having to do that.
I am going to buy this. At first, I thought that the line was 100 rushing yards. He's only done that once on the season. This could be a matchup where he could get 100 rushing yards, but it's total yards, so I'm going to buy that he crosses the century mark.
How many times has he passed 100 yards?
That's probably that one time.
Yeah, it's still just that one.
Yeah, those yardage totals are his total yards, yeah, in those games.
I'm with Andy. It has been very disappointing to see the results so far from Jonathan Taylor. I still believe in the player, but he's not breaking tackles the way that I thought he would be able to, and he's not getting the workload that we had expected because, of course, when Wilkins is on your team, you know, third string running back he's just hanging around.
Look, if it's Dominique Wilkins, I get it. Okay?
But dunk on them fools.
Yeah, I mean, you bring
Dominique
him in for
Wilkins
a
reference?
That's right, Mike. You bring him in for a windmill or something. But Jordan Wilkins, no.
Why is Jordan Wilkins getting carries?
Because they don't want to.
They love field goals. They love Blankenship.
I think they, oh man, Rocket ship. yeah, I mean, the reality is they're holding Jonathan Taylor back, I think, on purpose. And at when we get towards the end of the year and towards the playoffs, you're going to see him explode.
Do we have another Yeti?
I will say this. Jonathan Taylor's schedule lightens up against the for the rushing purposes over the back half of the year. We've got some good matchups. We'll see what happens. Terry McLaurin.
Well, anyway, but I am selling. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Terry McLaurin versus the Giants as a top 15 wide receiver this week. Nope. I'm selling that.
Yeah, top 15 is tough. James Bradberry on the Giants has been shutting people down. He's been playing very well. He is the second highest graded cornerback in coverage according to Pro Football Focus.
And the Redskins quarterbacks have been shutting people down.
Washington.
That's right. Apologies. Yeah.
Let me buy sell over here, people.
Sure.
I got to sell, unfortunately. That combined with the unknown nature of, we still don't know what Kyle Allen will be with Terry McLaurin. Kyle Allen will be the starting quarterback for Washington. He was cleared, so they're going to go back to him. But I unfortunately have to sell top 15.
Yeah, I'm selling as well. I think there's too much unknown right now in Washington. Their offensive line looked terrible last week, which won't give a lot of time to whoever's playing quarterback. So obviously he can do it. He's done it two out of his five games, but I'm going to sell this week.
I'm going to change the line. Top 20 wide receiver, not top 15. Does it change any of our buy sells?
I am willing to buy at top 20.
Let's change it to top 20. I'm going to still sell it.
Oh, I see what you've done. I think I've got to buy. I mean, I was kind of on the line at 15. Top 20, he's got the talent. I know Bradberry's there, but sure, I'll buy.
Okay, all right. Kirk Cousins against Atlanta, 270 passing yards. He's not hit that number at all in 2020. Atlanta's allowing 345 a game, though, and you have Dalvin Cook, who likely will miss this game. 270 for Cousins. That's a good line, Brooks. I don't like it. I don't think he'll do it. No, I'm going to sell it.
I'm going to buy it, man. The Atlanta Falcons are a Troche Couture, and I'm going to buy it.
Is that a real word?
It's a playoff of Feroz Couture, which is a playoff of other things. Look, this that reference is at least six layers deep.
And you went atroche, like an atrocious defense.
Absolutely.
Okay, I like it.
Yeah, I know he hasn't gotten there yet this year, but he's basically thrown for 250 or more yards in all but one game. It's so close. This is the Falcons. I'm going to buy.
All right. Yeah, I have Cousins as my stream of the week, and I think he gets it done.
Sell.
With touchdown.
There you go.
With touchdowns. But that was Buy or Sell from Pristine Auction. You can go to pristineauction.com, use the code BALLERS, get a $10 credit. Let's talk news.
News and notes from around the league.
Freedom!
That's a very ominous bell. Is there also a joyful bell?
I think this should be an ominous bell. This is a terrible, terrible thing that has happened. Because Lev Bell is about to ruin someone's running back core. It's going to happen. I mean, look, I made a trade offer last night of trying to capitalize on Kenyon Drake's touchdown just out of fear that, you know, oh, he's struggling. You know, the Cardinals running back coach was the former Pittsburgh Steelers running back coach. And what if he signs? Like, it's just one example of, like, if Lev Bell signed in Arizona, Kenyon Drake is just over.
Bell signs in Arizona, he's going to be bad.
Sure, but my point is wherever he signs, he could just flat ruin somebody.
Yes, you are correct.
Yeah, he should have been released a little earlier. Might have ended up in New York.
The flexibility
of Le'Veon Bell in an offense, he's going to be added to a roster. Jason's absolutely right. And it will be better for Lev Bell wherever he goes because it's been atroche, whatever you said. And this is unbelievable. I mean, the Jets are almost like...
What is happening?
It's like a sitcom or something that you don't... They're not in on the joke and everyone else is.
The rumors started filtering out yesterday or the day before of the Jets are trying to trade Le'Veon Bell, and it was, man, who's possibly going to take on that contract? They're going to have to work something out where the Jets are willing to pay a lot of the contract. I mean, a lot of the same arguments we had when we were talking about David Johnson, even though the Cardinals were able to trade David Johnson for possibly the best wide receiver in football. But this is just absurd. The dysfunction that is happening with the New York Jets, that they just cut Le'Veon Bell. And it's so bizarre because Bell got what he wanted. Like, there was stuff going on behind the scenes that we do not see. Arguments between him and Adam Gase. There has been the whispers of personality conflict since the signing happened. You know, right after it happened, it got leaked out. Adam Gase did not want this to happen, and he finally released Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell gets what he wants. He gets his money, and now he gets to go play for somebody else who has more than zero wins.
So let's make some predictions on Le'Veon Bell's potential destinations. I've got four teams.
Man.
I got
right.
four teams and okay. that I think are interesting. And I'm looking at a team that is maybe on the bubble of competition and could need help there, could need depth.
Okay.
Believe it or not, at the top of my list is Tampa Bay.
They're on my list, for sure.
I know that they've done McCoy and they've done Fournette, but Ronald Jones can't catch the ball, and Keyshawn Vaughn's a rookie, and when it comes to trust and this window that they have, Tampa Bay's at the top of the list.
The fact that they went after LeSean McCoy and then grabbed Leonard Fournette, they're searching for Lev Bell. I don't know if they can afford him now with all the running backs on the roster.
The Mount Rushmore of washed running backs, potentially.
Let me give you another a team that's winning games, but their offense hasn't looked good, and they lost a running back. Chicago Bears.
Okay.
With their pass-catching running back going down, they could use some offensive weapons, and they're in the hunt.
That is that's a great point. Yeah, absolutely. People have whispered about New England.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of the go-to for any
time the
player's available.
I don't think that's a fit, I really don't, because with what James White brings to the offense,
right.
I don't think you need to bring in that personality. I will bring up two others, Philadelphia and Las Vegas.
Okay.
Those would be two. Las Vegas, because
they just want all
hashtag
the pass
Raiders.
The pass catchers.
It's just something. They're competing right now, and it seems like, okay, this is something they could logically say puts us over the hump, even though it's stupid.
What we don't know about Lev is what's he going to be looking for in a contract? Because he's like, the Jets owe him money. They still owe him guaranteed money. My dark horse here is one, because we don't know the status of Nick Chubb. Like, there was the whispers that this injury that Chubb had while he's on the IR, this might be like a 6 to 8 week injury for Nick Chubb. I think the Cleveland Browns are a dark horse in this race for Lev Bell.
Interesting. There was some news this morning from Doug Peterson when asked about Lev Bell, because I guess some other people threw them into the mix. He says, I'm extremely comfortable with the guys we have. I think we found our three-down guy in Miles. Hmm. So Miles Sanders managers can, yeah, yeah. There was some other news this morning, running back related. Not going to hit the bell for this. But Melvin Gordon, charged with DUI late Tuesday night. They have the Patriots this week, and potentially, you know, a serious situation for Gordon in terms of discipline.
He was also going what is registered as 25 to 39 miles over the speed limit. I don't know the laws in Denver. I can only speak to Arizona, but here that would count as criminal speeding, so that would be two very large strikes. And for fantasy football, like, moving aside from what he did, for fantasy football, we don't know if Melvin Gordon will be playing. If he is out this week, it will be a team decision. The NFL, the league, generally waits on these situations for all the legalities to play out, and then a player receives a suspension.
All right, but that Lindsay has been brought up in a couple times as a cursory ad for purposes.
He needs to be added now. If he made it through your waiver run, he should be picked up immediately.
All right, Kyle Allen medically cleared. He will start in week 6. So that is the hope for McLaurin and Gibson and company.
Yep.
And a reminder, drop it like it's hot.
Drop it like it's hot.
Check who your opponents have dropped in your fantasy league after waivers ran. Some people have had waivers running tomorrow on certain platforms. So kind of a message for both days. All right. Before we get into our brand new fantasy draft redo, we want to thank today's sponsors, Football fans, are you an Amazon Prime member?
Yep.
Did you know, Mike, that you can watch NFL football live on Prime Video?
I knew that, but I'm happy to share the news with the Foot Clan right now.
It is the future of football, Mike. You can catch all the action on any device almost anywhere in the world. You can choose your favorite announcer. That's a cool feature. You get those next-gen stats. Mike, you're familiar with those.
Oh, yes, I am.
And they're powered by AWS, by the way. No more waiting around. You can
They've
access.
Got proof.
They got proof. You can access the current stats anytime. If you want to check out your fantasy players doing, this is the ideal way to stay up to speed. I've been watching a lot more on mobile devices.
Yeah, you
know,
me too.
It lets me, you know, I go out back and I got to build a grill the other day. And
right.
It's like I can watch the whole game and build a grill at the same time. Catch the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills this Monday. Kickoff is 5 p.m. Eastern on Prime Video. It's also available on Fox and NFL Network. NFL Network simulcast subject to change. And it's presented by Bud Light Platinum.
And we want to thank Simply Safe. They've been keeping our studio and homes safe for a long time. Every 26 seconds, there's a break-in in this country. But with Simply Safe Home Security, you can protect your whole home around the clock. It's serious, lasting protection. Takes very little time to set up. Their award-winning arsenal of sensors and security cameras, they can blanket every inch of your home. And you can know that you and your family are always safe. They can monitor your home around the clock with security professionals that are there in case of an emergency to call and immediately send help to your home. They really are a great modern company. It's no wonder the U.S. and World Reports named SimpliSafe the best overall home security of 2020. And right now, visit simplysafe.com/footballers and get a free security camera plus a 60-day risk-free trial with any new system order. There's nothing to lose. Go today to simplysafe.com/footballers. simplysafe.com/footballers.
The Fantasy Footballers Mock Draft.
Redo.
Thank you, Mike.
Yes.
Thank you for the edit.
Got to spice it up.
All right. We are going to take a look. You know, we're 5 weeks into the season. We're going to take a look at the first round, maybe the second round as well, and just see how things would be different today. Like Jason said, it's kind of a rest of season rankings. If you look at, if you want a refresher, Christian McCaffrey went 1-on-1. This is how things played out to begin the year. Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Dalvin Cook, Michael Thomas, Ezekiel Elliott, Joe Mixon, Josh Jacobs. Alvin Kamara went 10th. Devontae Adams in the first round, and then Austin Eckler.
Yeah, I there's one player here that I'm really curious. We're going to go in order, take, you know, basically each of one of us drafting. Now, we're not drafting teams. We're just drafting the next best player if we were up. But there's one player I'm really curious where he's going to go, and we'll see that pretty early. Who is starting? Who's got first pick?
Andy drew the first pick. It will go Andy, Mike, Jason.
All right.
All right. If not for the injury that recently occurred, this would be a more difficult decision. Alvin Kamara is the pick. I'm going to take him the 101.
Okay. Interesting.
Zeke, Aaron Jones, Cook, Kamara, all in contention for the 101 right here. I will go with Kamara. I know Michael Thomas has missed time that might inflate a little bit of what Kamara's done, but this is Alvin Kamara. This is a top three type of player.
He's great. I was curious if the bye week would factor into your decision because the pick you just took will not be playing for that team.
Yeah.
this first week.
It's true, but I will go with Kamara. I think it's the most guaranteed combination of both production and upside in a player right now. And again, it would depend a little bit on what you're looking for. If you're drafting fresh, but to me, that is you're just locked and loaded with Alvin Kamara. You can't run the Saints offense without him.
Right. I would love to take Dalvin Cook here, but the fact that he's going to miss a game, it's interesting how I'm taking this really seriously. I'm trying to break down. I'm like,
good.
If I took a guy right now, I would have to pass on Dalvin Cook because I'm not buying into Mike Zimmer. It is, ooh, Dalvin Cook might stop. Stop. Dalvin Cook, I don't think he plays this week. I know for sure he's not playing in 2 weeks because you have the bye week. So that comes down to Ezekiel Elliott or Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones is past the bye week, so you would have him, or you should have him, you know, every single week now through the remainder of the season. Oh man, if I was picking, I would probably take Zeke.
So I think that's a great pick.
It's just I feel like I'm taking the safety of Zeke versus the
you are.
The up, I know. I'm just that's not bad. And I'm disappointed in myself of the upside of Aaron Jones. I feel like I'm doubting Aaron Jones yet again. The reason we're all in the mess of not having Aaron Jones on our teams, I'm doing it again.
Well, look, I'm on the clock. I can rectify that by taking Aaron Jones, which I'm going to do. But the player that I would be considering here, other than Aaron Jones, has actually not been brought up yet, which is Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry has also passed his bye. Winter is coming.
It is.
You know, he should be in consideration at the very top of these drafts. But I will take Aaron Jones. His receiving work means he's game script proof, and he's just been outstanding.
Okay, so we've got Kamara, Zeke, who has an Andy Dalton situation now, where I think he'll be the focal point, but I'm not really upgrading or downgrading Zeke. I think efficiency,
right,
goal line opportunities could suffer if the offense doesn't move as well. I mean, we can give Andy Dalton credit, but not enough credit to say that they're a better offense with him than they would be with Dak.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Jones at the three spot. Okay. So in consideration here, by the way, why don't I just share this? Because this is always interesting at various points of the year. Right now, the top five quarterbacks, Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Dak, and Kyler Murray. Right now, the top five running backs in fantasy points. This is points per game with four games played, by the way. Alvin Kamara, Aaron Jones, Dalvin Cook, Ezekiel Elliott, and Chris Carson. Top five wide receivers right now, Adam Thielen, DK Metcalf, Calvin Ridley, DeAndre Hopkins, and Tyreek Hill. And then the top five tight ends right now. Is this true, Jonu Smith, points per game?
Two touchdowns.
Yes, sir.
Last night.
So Jonu Smith is the number one in points per game with four games played.
It's just like Derrick Henry, where Jason was bringing it up. Like, we, you know, yes, pun intended, we have forgot the Titans. They've been gone for so long that it faded out what Jonu did in those first 3 weeks.
Travis Kelce's at two then, and then Robert Tonyan, Mark Andrews, and Noah Fanton-Waller at the five spot. So 5 weeks in, that's where it stands. This pick, it's going to be another running back. Jason brought up Derrick Henry. Other considerations here would be somebody like Chris Carson, who's been super impressive.
Yes, Carson's great.
It could be Kareem Hunt based on how you look at the rest of the season for Nick Chubb.
Not when Lev Bell takes all his carries.
And
Josh Jacobs, too.
Yeah, and I just want to bring up the name now that I was curious where he was going to fall.
Mm-hmm.
Christian McCaffrey. At what point,
if
this was actually a startup draft today, do you take the guy who was phenomenal week one and week two, and now you see Mike Davis owning? So when CMC gets back, he's going to scorch the earth. You hope. I mean, unless that high ankle sprain slows him down on his return. So I'm just curious where he'll slide in here.
Yeah, he'll slide in right here. Christian McCaffrey will be the pick. I don't know how long. I mean, Kareem Hunt right now has been incredible, and that is with multiple games of Nick Chubb. He would be if you told me Nick Chubb's out for the next eight games, I would probably go Kareem Hunt here with the question marks of CMC, but I will go Christian McCaffrey. I think this is the right place for him. I mean, Alvin Kamara's on bye. Dalvin Cook's going to miss a game or two. Christian McCaffrey might miss another game, might miss two. But look at what Mike Davis has done. Look what this offense has been able to do with Matt Rhule. And look at who Christian McCaffrey is. So I'll take him at four.
That leaves a very difficult decision here. It would be between Kareem Hunt here and Chris Carson.
Not as much consideration for Henry or Jacobs?
Jacobs, no. It's been too hot and cold for me. Derrick Henry, probably. And winter is coming. Seems like he is a very safe situation.
Let me throw
situation.
Some other names out there just so that they're in our brains. Okay,
great.
Let's go. Miles Sanders is another name that is worth bringing up. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is another name. He went four in the in most drafts by ADP.
I would throw Devontae Adams out there, past his bye, should be fully healthy now.
That's a great point.
And DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, absolutely. Hopkins and Michael Thomas. I mean, those. You know, where do the wide receivers fall in?
Okay, so Mike's on the clock. I'm so glad for that.
Yeah, this does seem like one of the more difficult spots so far.
I'm going to take the Yeti. I'll take Derrick Henry. It's super safe over here is what they call my team.
Oh, yeah, which is something you take such great pride in as a fantasy football player.
Yes, I know.
Like playing safe.
Embrace the variance.
I am really sad because that
minimize the variance.
If you took anyone else, I had an easy layup of Derrick Henry. So good pick.
Thank you.
I'm stuck here with, you know, all the options we've been talking about. I am going to pull the trigger on a riskier pick. I'm probably not going to have him for 2 weeks, but like the Christian McCaffrey pick, you want the most talented player who can go out there and score so many points in one roster spot, and that's Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
So I'll take him here, not let him slide any further.
And that'll give me a layup as well because it was a player I was considering at the fourth pick. I will take Kareem Hunt here with the seventh pick.
Mm.
Love the passing game involvement. He's just a dominant force for fantasy football.
We are still very, very robust RB here.
Yeah.
And, man, I've been trying to run it through my brain, the experiment here on these wide receivers. DK Metcalf, where are you guys on the sustainability of what he is? I know he's the number two guy so far, but what percentage chance do you give DK to end up top three at the end of the year?
Top three?
Yeah.
I give him a higher chance than Calvin Ridley.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I agree with that.
I do not think he will be there, though. Let me just say, put that on record. I don't think he will be top three. He is still a player. If you look at his entire game log, I believe he has four receptions on average per game. I think he's done four of the five games he's played. Now, if he connects on that big play, which is the highest probability with Russell Wilson to do so, that's great. But he will have a game or two, maybe more, where that touchdown doesn't come through and you are less than because of it. Compared to a player like, you know, PPR value of an Adams or a Hopkins or a Thomas. So I don't think he ends up in the top three.
All right. That's fair. He won't be playing for my team right away, but I'm going to take Chris Carson right here.
Interesting.
Wow.
So you're sticking with the running back position.
Yeah. It's funny, man. It's so hard to get away with it because the value. When these guys when they're getting the workload, they are such an advantage to the team. But they're all getting hurt.
I think that's the most surprising pick.
Yeah, that surprises me.
I love Chris Carson so much.
I honestly...
But over Miles Sanders?
Yeah.
Over Clyde Edwards-Helaire?
Yep.
Interesting.
At this point, I would take Carson over them.
I mean, I had my speech already prepared for how Chris Carson is always disrespected. But now I can't use it because this is a lot of respect given to him. This is where he deserves to be based on, or you could argue even higher based on what he's done so far this season. All right, Chris Carson, I feel like at this point I'm looking at these Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Miles Sanders question marks, and I'm gonna take the first wide receiver at this point. In consideration, obviously, you brought up DK Metcalf. Adam Thielen's current number one wide receiver. He wouldn't really be in consideration for me here.
Really?
Not really, no.
Hopkins is sitting at four overall right now.
To me, it's between three players, Michael Thomas, DeAndre Hopkins, and Devontae Adams. Two of them are injured. Hopkins has been amazing. But if I were on the clock, I would genuinely take Devontae Adams out of those three first. He's passed his bye. They used the time wisely to give him full health. He was absolutely dominant when we saw him last. And I trust the Green Bay Packers offense more than the Arizona Cardinals offense right now. So I'm going to go with Hopkins here, or with Devontae Adams as the first wide receiver.
Yeah, it would have been a weird setup to pick Hopkins.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to go with another running back. I'm going to go Clyde Edwards-Helaire here. At the 10th
all right,
overall pick.
Over Miles?
Yep, over Miles.
Ugh. Over Josh Jacobs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could change it. We don't have harsh, strict rules here.
I'll take Clyde.
You take Clyde over Jacobs?
Yep.
All right, so that theoretically puts us at, like, towards the back of the first round. And He has been Jonnu has been absolutely incredible here, but the difference maker on a weekly basis has been Travis Kelce. And I, building out the roster here on the turn, I would take Travis Kelce because I know that one of these running backs or wide receivers is going to make it back to me. So I would take Travis Kelce right here at 11.
Whew. This is creeping up, but obviously the only thing he's done to deserve that is be the number one tight end for four straight years and dominate so far.
Well,
this
it's year. Like look at the landscape. Like Jonnu, it's possible that Jonnu can keep it up. You know, this is this
doubtful
was,
at this level.
Yeah, doubtful. But this was this was his chance, his first real opportunity without Delanie Walker. The Ryan we just pointed out how well Tannehill is playing. And then the other guys, you know, Robert Tonyan is not going to be here at the end of the year. Mark Andrews is hot and cold. Lamar Jackson is very hot and cold right now. And Waller is not Travis Kelce.
We love the
Wallerists. Yeah, and so I'm going with Travis Kelce.
All right. That puts me on the clock here, and I'm basically in the same exact boat I was the last time I was around, looking at Josh Jacobs, looking at Miles Sanders, looking at, you know, some really good running backs, but they're a tier down. And I'm gonna take Hopkins. I was, you know, between Davante Adams, Hopkins, and Michael Thomas. So I'm gonna stick with my wide receivers and take DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay. Yeah, I was between Jacobs or Hopkins for me with this next pick, and you made it easy. So I'll take Josh Jacobs with the 13th pick.
Well, then I will take Miles Sanders.
And I'm back on the clock.
That's how we do it, baby.
Yeah, all right. So with Miles Sanders and Josh Jacobs taken, if I'm looking at the running back position.
Yeah, who's left?
Well, you've got Jonathan Taylor, who has been disappointing, but so has Clyde Edwards-Helaire. The volume is there, and I do expect it to grow as you go on. And then I think that there's another tier break, and you've got names like James Conner. I get it. So this goes back to my wide receivers. I was between three of them.
I mean, Joe Mixon's still on the clock. You also have the Metcalf-Lockett combination that hasn't been talked about, Thielen, Ridley.
Yeah, a lot of great players still. But I'll take Michael Thomas. He should be back soon, healthy. He was the number one wide receiver drafted early in the season for a reason. And so Michael Thomas will complete my wide receiver trio.
Okay, so I am back on the clock here. Jacob, Sanders, Thomas, the last three picks. Trying to decide what respect Metcalf, Lockett, Thielen deserve here compared to the running back position. And I think I will go with Joe Mixon here at the 16 overall
pick. It's fair. So, fellas, I've flipped over to our snapshot tool on the website and the fantasyfootballers.com. Because, you know, points per game, like overall rank right now, things are a little bit skewed. I want to see points per game. And there's some very interesting results here at the top. Do you know who the number three wide receiver in points per game is?
Is it Mike Evans?
It's Jameson Crowder.
Well, then easy pick, Mike. You're on the clock. I mean, let's go.
Jameson Crowder. He's only played three games compared to everybody else, but it just tickles me to see
that
Jameson Crowder up there. Oh, my goodness. All right.
Well, and that, you know, Adam Gase has accomplished his goals.
Oh, so funny. Imagine how good Crowder could be without Adam Gase.
Well, we got to see that. He wasn't really good. He's the one player where it goes opposite. I mean, he was in Washington for years where we kept calling him as a breakout, and it never happened.
That's fair. I'm looking at the wide receiver position. Tyreek Hill has been great and far more consistent than he has been in a long time. But, like, part of the variance for Edwards-Helaire is the fact that Tyreek Hill has been scoring. I don't know if it's every single week, but it's the vast majority of them. That could go away and change.
All but one week, yeah.
That could change over to Clyde in an instant. I am bought in, man. I am bought in on DK Metcalf. So it's between DK and Adam Thielen here. I'm bought in, man. I'm taking DK Metcalf. This is a wild world. I'm taking Seahawks all over the place. Now we are not building one team. We're just drafting who we think is the best player available right there. And Metcalf, it's been four receptions, but it's over 90 yards every single week. and the cooking is continuing.
I saw a tweet, forget who it was, but it took a look at the same amount of games played for Lockett and for Metcalf, and their numbers were unbelievably similar. I mean, right. They're just both dominating. Far more receptions for Lockett than for Metcalf, but the yardage, I think Metcalf actually had like 20 more yards, tons of touchdowns for both guys. I love it. And I love that you took him, and I was like, if I'm here and I'm deciding between Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf.
Would you take Tyler Lockett over Tyreek Hill?
No,
I wouldn't. Okay. Tyreek Hill is my pick here.
Okay.
But if I was staring, I wouldn't have taken DK Metcalf over Tyreek Hill either. But I'm just talking about the DK Metcalf versus Tyler Lockett
right.
decision. That's a really, really hard one to take because I think, you know, obviously you've got more total volume usually with Tyler Lockett, more receptions, more half PPR, full PPR points there. But then you've got just monstrous upside with DK Metcalf. And I didn't want to have to make the decision, so thank you.
Well, I made it for
but
you.
I will take Tyreek Hill here.
Okay. Yeah, for what it's worth, you know, top quarterbacks right now that you could be thinking about, you know, again, taking a quarterback early is all about can you guarantee production. But Russ and Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen have been delivering each and every week. But it's not my pick. I'm going to go with Adam Thielen here.
Yeah, right.
We're going to make it three wide receivers in a row. I don't have confidence in Matt Ryan right now moving forward. And that is that makes it difficult with Calvin Ridley. Obviously, a hyper-talented player. Has delivered for fantasy players this year, but it's a confidence issue. So I like Adam Thielen.
So a name that we haven't mentioned yet.
Yeah, I'm sure hopefully we don't have any nasty omissions from this list since it's off the cuff.
Yeah, it's tough, man. But in points per game, he's been fantastic, but he's also missed a couple games. That's Raheem Mostert, running back for San Francisco. He has been in the top 24 each of his three games. I don't know that I would draft him here, but he felt like a name that should be mentioned of if we're going to forget about any of these.
Todd Gurley, names, James Robinson.
Yeah. Julio Jones, you know, I mean, there's names here that are,
yep.
What do you do with?
Yeah. I'm so concerned about Julio Jones. Jay, you were the one who was leading the charge of being concerned. I guess we don't have a ton of new information, but where is your confidence level lying right now after some time?
You know, I fear that Dan, you know, now that Dan Quinn is gone, I think they can do the right thing and let Julio rest, which is great news. I think you're hopefully going to miss Julio for a little while and then get him back strong the rest of the season.
All right, Mike, you are on the clock.
This is a tough call here.
A few picks left here in the second round.
Oh, man. I'm going to take Calvin Ridley right here.
Okay.
Right. I believe in Calvin Ridley long term as well, and I'm nervous about Julio.
I am between Jonathan Taylor and Tyler Lockett.
Ooh, yeah.
I love both of those players. I thought I was going to take Jonathan Taylor, but once I said the names out loud, I would take Tyler Lockett. He's been great. I assume he will continue to be great. And while I think Jonathan Taylor will get going as the season nears the playoffs. We haven't seen it yet, and we've seen it with Lockett. So I will take Tyler Lockett.
So a lot of wide receivers going right now. Now, I have a wide receiver I'd like to take, but I think the right pick is Jonathan Taylor. So I need one of you guys to promise me you're going to take Stephon Diggs with the last two picks. Otherwise, I can't make
it. Dude, that's on brand.
And you got it for me?
I
if
got
if
it
If Mike
for
doesn't
you.
Take him, you're going to take him?
If Goggles McBlanketship is not on the... on the board, then I will take Stephon Diggs.
All right, I'll take Jonathan Taylor then. Rotate back to a running back. Two picks left in the second round. Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods also haven't really been mentioned. Don't know if those are too early.
Amari Cooper, who's been dominant but has a quarterback change.
Yeah, that's the problem. How Odell Beckham. I mean, Beckham could be in consideration here.
Mike Evans.
Mike Evans.
Kenny Golladay.
Mike Evans. Disrespectful are we to him right now? Is he leading the league in touchdowns? He's got to be
at
least tied.
Close.
This is a heading back to the original draft board and just sticking with the guy because it hasn't happened so far, except for 1 week because he suffered an injury. But I would take George Kittle here. I think George Kittle will return to dominance and be the number two guy, number two tight end, an actual difference maker at the position.
I like the pick.
I like that pick a lot. And then I'll take Stephon Diggs because I made a promise to a close friend of mine.
Stephon Diggs has been unbelievable in terms of the targets, the role he plays in that offense.
16 targets last night, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. And he's the go-to guy. And
is
Josh
that,
Allen,
seriously,
yeah.
He hit 16.
Yeah,
wow.
I mean, for what it's worth, last year, okay, Stephon Diggs last year had 94 total targets. Through five games, he has 51 targets.
Holy yeah, crap, baby, man!
So
yeah, baby,
he is a great player, and Josh Allen has made such tremendous strides as a passer.
The improvement in Josh Allen's accuracy is something that I'm not trying to be hyperbolic here, but I don't think I've ever seen a player improve the way that that Josh Allen has this year. Accuracy is one of those things that it can get a little bit better when you make the jump from college to the NFL. The pros,
you
come
always
in,
go up a couple points
as you
come in.
They clean up your mechanics, but it looked like Josh Allen was going to be able to win games in the NFL, but it was not going to be a huge jump. We knew who he was as a passer, but his when he's rolling out, he's throwing across his body and throws that usually would have sailed or been spiked in the dirt. He's hitting guys.
To add to that,
I cannot believe, and it's like a hat tip to Josh Allen, who has just blown away all expectations I've had for him as a player. It's incredible.
He was one of those players that he would throw an accurate pass, and then be so wildly inaccurate. It was a consistency issue. And that's the type of player I never see make that jump. Those people who show flashes but are so inconsistent, then, you know, and so kudos. It's been great. My Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs stack is very happy right now. Diggs is on pace for 163 targets.
Well, just to put some stats behind the praise of Josh Allen, he's jumped year to year 59%. He went 59 last year, jumped to 69% passer this year with a yards per attempt jump of 6.7 up to 8.4. So the accuracy's jumped 10%, yet the yards per attempt have gone up. So he's taking more downfield shots.
It's amazing.
He's and a lot of this, you know, credit to Josh Allen, credit to Stephon Diggs, credit to the coaching staff, credit to the offensive line giving him the ability to stand there. I mean, I was just so impressed with them last night. It really came down to turnovers. This game would have been very close.
Agreed.
Very, very close. So, all right, that does it for our fantasy draft redo. Judge Giamatti, any glaring omissions from that list? Anything you were just kind of discouraged by our decisions with?
No,
that wasn't the sentence.
No.
Yeah, I mean, the names that, you know, Mike Evans, Julio Jones, surprised, you know, that they're not in those top two rounds.
But would you really take Julio over Stephon Diggs right now in a draft?
No, I wouldn't.
No, I would not.
Yeah, that's, I mean, interesting.
And I didn't.
Now, let me ask you this. We're not drafting through the third round.
And I didn't.
But does a quarterback belong in the third round?
No. There are so many great players here. I mean, a whole tier of wide receivers that, you know, are huge difference makers. You know, A.J. Brown, Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, Robbie Anderson, Odell Beckham, Terry McLaurin. There are Keenan Allen, Mike Evans, Julio.
Even if I imbued Russ and Mahomes with the exact stats they have now for the remainder of the year.
Well, no. No, I mean, if you guaranteed me that what Russ has done will not stop for the rest of the year,
then you would
take that. But the reality is, I mean, if you look at what Russ did the beginning of last season, was unfathomable, and people were, you know, I was dancing on Mike's grave because I was pro Russ, and he was,
which was kind of rude, but
because, you know, it's like he was still alive, but I was
him in there.
I got you with the zombie hand, though.
That's true, and
I didn't fully get out of the grave, but I zombie handed.
But Mahomes, we've seen it for years and years, and he's sitting here doing what he's done.
Well, he's not doing what he got famous for in the 50-plus touchdown season, where he scorched earth. He is
he's having a great year.
He is having a great year.
Multiple number one finishes.
Yeah, but I don't think he is having, you know, the year we saw, what was that, 2018? I think it was 2018, where he was a gargantuan difference maker. I mean, the difference last year the difference last year between Lamar Jackson and the number two was humongous. The difference a year prior between Pat Mahomes and the number two was humongous. The difference this year between Pat Mahomes and Russell Wilson or Josh Allen or those guys is not really
JD,
but it's predictability, right?
Sure.
With a player like Mahomes who's done it multiple years. I'm just bringing it up because I think he belongs in the late third as the first quarterback off the board, above an Allen, above a Russell
Wilson. He would certainly be my first quarterback, yes.
You watched through a lot of Hollywood Brown tape the other day, I noticed. And do you have any takeaways from that film study on what's going on with Lamar Jackson?
He's not playing well as a passer. What? I mean, the reality is you want to talk about accuracy and consistency.
That's what I mean. Like, is it a team problem or is this – does it look like this is just a Lamar Jackson problem?
Yeah, I think it's 100% a Lamar Jackson problem. Overthrowing him, underthrowing him. It wasn't even consistent in how he was missing him. The targets are there, the air yards are there, but the completions aren't there because
Let me tell you the stats behind that, because I when we were looking at the Josh Allen numbers, I looked up the Lamar Jackson numbers because I was expecting to be able to say, here's what Josh Allen did and here's the step back that Lamar Jackson's taken. It's not there in the stats. He was a 66% passer last year. He's a 64% passer this year. His yards per attempt have not changed. So the numbers, maybe the volume has changed to support those. Obviously, if you pass for 300 yards at 64% versus passing for 150 yards at 64%, the production is a lot different for the wide receivers. But I expected to see a statistical backup of what we've seen on the field with the bad decisions or with airmailing his players, and I didn't see that.
I will say the last 3 weeks, Lamar Jackson is completing 56% of his passes.
So it's been worse of late.
Yes. Okay. Like the reason he's at 64% is he had the two great games.
All right, that adds up then.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
Okay. All right.
I mean, I will say this. He's rolling out. He's making the right read. I mean, I watched, you know, all the Hollywood, and he's finding him when he should. He's just not hitting him. So I think it's entirely on Lamar Jackson, which, you know, if he corrects that and just starts hitting his guys, I think the offense will be clicking.
They're still winning. Winning games.
Sure.
That defense is
The defense is great. The running game hasn't been as good as last year. Mark Andrews has been great. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, higher value. You know he's going to go to him around the goal line. All right, that's going to wrap it up for today. A reminder, we have the Footcast tonight, or this afternoon, I suppose, which you can find at jointhefoot.com, our bonus weekly episode, along with all the premium resources and a way to support the show at jointhefoot.com. We will get into the starts of the week tomorrow and the matchups, and it's going to be a good time, guys. It's going to be a great time.
Great news, everybody. I have added Austin Hooper. I will not be playing Zach Ertz.
Wow, congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Breakout week for Ertz coming.
Goodbye. Don't do that.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter at the FFBallers.
And Foot Clan, with SimpliSafe Home Security, you can protect your whole home around the clock. It's serious, lasting protection, and all it takes is a simple 30-minute setup. You'll even get a free security camera when you protect your home today. Visit simplisafe.com/footballers and get a free security camera plus a 60-day risk-free trial with any new system order. There's nothing to lose. simplisafe.com/footballers.